Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
Thanks for listening to the first week of The Best Question Ever. We had a recording issue, and so we're going to have a podcast-type version of it, of a recap of this morning's message for those who are listening online. So welcome, and I want to just express my excitement for this series. I'm really excited about what God is going to be doing through our church in this new series. I've been saving and waiting for this for years, and we're just really excited about sharing this message and picking the right moment and the right time for what God wants to do, as we can study this in life groups, as well as hear it on Sunday and apply it and read the book as well. We're really excited about this. So one of the reasons I'm so in favor of this book is because it's not just another book by a famous guy. It's a teaching that's based on the exposition, the explanation, and the application of Scripture. It's biblical. The biblical principle is identified and fleshed out, and it's broken down and applied. And so we're going to begin the series with that biblical foundation. We'll begin with our text in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Paul says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So the potential power of this question being asked, answered, and acted on is life-changing. Think about this. If your life is the product of your choices, buy this or not, go there or don't, who do I go with, career, marriage, goals, responsibilities, all those things make up the fabric of our life and the understanding of who we are and what we produce as an individual. If your eternity is resting on your decisions, which is salvation and obedience and following Jesus, this question can essentially foolproof your life, both in this life and for eternity. So the weight of our decisions is huge, and making good decisions is what God wants for us and why he's given us this instruction. Now, we have all made some dumb decisions before. We have to admit that, and I absolutely do. We have regrets that cannot be undone, things that cannot be unsaid, things that cannot be unseen, things that cannot be unpurchased. You cannot return a car 3 years later and expect them to give your money back. It doesn't work that way. Those dumb decisions can overthrow your life. Sometimes our dumb decisions will simply embarrass us. They'll make us look like fools in the eyes of those around us, and we'll feel ashamed about it. Sometimes those decisions will actually scar us. They'll shape us and those around us as well. Your financial hardships will shape your kids' perception of money. Your marital difficulties will shape your kids' view on fidelity and marriage. Your ethical choices will influence your job, your career, your success. Your moral failures will affect everyone in relationship to you deeply. So let's be honest. We would love to point a finger and lay the blame somewhere else, on somebody else, but we have done this to ourselves. In spite of what common sense and others have told us, we think that we get to control all the outcomes. You see, the problem is that we have a very highly developed gift of self-deception. We can convince ourselves of very ridiculous things. We've had to recognize our own tactics. Wisdom doesn't require a list of excuses. Self-deception does. That should clue us in right away. This is key. If I have to make a list of reasons to defend my decision, it's very likely a foolish choice. You don't have to rationalize eating healthy. You don't have to rationalize exercising or saving money. Who's ever had to come up with a list of excuses to save money? Nobody does. Avoiding bad company. These things speak for themselves. The answers are obvious. You don't have to make a list excusing those things. You don't sit around thinking of reasons to do good things. But the bad decisions require creative reasoning. When you start excusing, you're probably losing. It's a nice one-liner for you. I can handle it. It'll be different this time. I'll be careful. It won't hurt anyone else. I'll only do it just this once. That kind of thinking leads us down a backwards and upside down dangerous path. Because what we're doing is instead of trying to make a right decision, we are trying to make our decision right. This line of thought reveals something about the questions that we're asking. You see, if we have a right decision in front of us, that we understand there's wisdom pointing us that direction, oftentimes we are using these excuses and these lists and the questions that we're dealing with to try to twist our decision to make it right, trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak. That doesn't work. That's just twisting and manipulation. We have to recognize what questions we really are asking. In making decisions, we all inherently ask some questions about the choices that we have. It's our grid. It's our filter, our system, our process of how we arrive at answers. In reality, we get the wrong answers because we're typically asking the wrong questions. To better understand the best question ever, let's talk about what it is not. Most of us are not bent on self-destruction. We're not out to wreck our lives or make a mess. Nobody plans to do that. Unfortunately, most of us don't plan not to. We don't put the safeguards in place. We don't put the measures in place and take action steps to secure our success or to ensure our success. Nobody plans to destroy their marriage, but how many actually take steps to secure and protect it? Nobody plans on adding 20 pounds, but do we take action to prevent it? Nobody plans on getting addicted. It just seems to happen. You see, failing to plan is planning to fail. It sounds like coach speak, but you and I see it all around us. Our poor planning will lead us exactly where we don't want to go unless we take action. So what questions are we asking? How do we make these decisions? What is your fit or your filter, your grid? There are lots of variations, but in general, the most generic filter that typically governs most of our choices is we ask this question: is there anything wrong with it? The assumption that wrecks us is that if there's nothing technically wrong with it, then it must be right. If it's not illegal, unethical, or immoral, then it must be okay. We use the Bible. If the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not whatever, then we assume the Bible is telling us to go for it. Now, what this does is it pushes us towards the line, to the edges, to the gray areas. If we're honest, it becomes more about the line. It becomes a question like this: how close can I get to sin without actually sinning? Now, every male on a date in their teenage years has come to that question as well. How far is too far? What's allowable? What's sin and what's not? And usually we find that line because we've already crossed it. It's too late. Now, we've fallen for the trick that changes right or wrong into the idea of right versus fun. We as if right decisions are no fun, and the only way we can have fun is to do the opposite or something different than the right choice. Fun only happens in the wrong side of things, and that's not the truth. I'd like you to ask someone in jail if we are having fun yet. Ask someone getting a divorce, are we having fun yet? Ask someone strung out on meth if we're having fun yet. Ask someone losing their family if we're having fun yet. Ask someone log-jammed and smothered in debt if we are having fun yet. This lie has to end. If we are asking if it's technically a sin, then we are asking the wrong question. And here's why. Because the very next step is over the line. And we ask, how far over the line? That this is where we go after that. How far over the line can I go without experiencing the consequences that I can't handle? We push the envelope and still manage the results and try not to feel the pinch of what we've done wrong. How long can I neglect my family or my responsibilities before I lose them entirely? How far above the speed limit can I go without getting pulled over? How regularly can I indulge in something without technically being addicted? It's a slippery and sinister slope. It's a trick that we play, and the sad thing is we're playing the joke on ourselves. Just because there isn't a thou shalt not does not imply that it's a thou shalt. It starts off seeming noble and seeming generally good on our ideas, but if we're asking if there's anything technically wrong with it, we're asking the wrong question. And the fact is that if you're asking the wrong questions, it really does not matter what your answer is. And then later on, you ask yourself this question: how did I get myself into this mess? So if those are the wrong questions, then what is the right question? Now let's get back to our text. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Now, the best question ever isn't based on cultural standards. It's not based on typical actions. The best question ever isn't even based on technical right or wrong. The question is about wisdom, not generic fortune cookie wisdom, personally applied and owned wisdom, wisdom that is for you as an individual. If you have the book and you've prepared for this, you already know the question. And if you don't, you really like me to get around to it. So here we go. This question will forever impact your walk with God. It'll impact your marriage, your career, your life, every facet. And here's the question: what is the wise thing to do? It's not focused on the edge. It's not focused on the line. It's focused on the obvious. It's not targeting rules. It's targeting results. If you have any practice shooting, you've heard the idea of aim small, miss small. If you pick a tiny little target to aim at, it's very easy to miss that tiny target. If you have a 1-inch margin for error, it's easy to miss. I cannot express to you how many times I've witnessed up close personal disasters of other individuals because they don't do the obviously wise thing. Instead, they ask the question and then they take a gambling chance on shaky ground on one of the edges or up next to the line. I realize that some of this is personality and temperament. Maybe you're geared a little differently than those around you or the people next to you, but the fact is that we are not held accountable by a chart of your temperament or your personality. We are accountable for our actions and their outcomes. It doesn't matter if you did good for an outgoing person at restraining yourself, or if you did good for a talkative person. That's not the scale. The scale is based on our actions and our outcomes. So we have the question, and we'll flesh that out in the coming weeks. And here's why: because every one of us has regrets that could have been prevented if we asked this question. We're going to flesh this out because every one of us has choices to make today, this week, that we cannot afford to fail. Ultimately, our souls hang in the balance of our daily decisions. So this commitment is before us today. And as we dive into this series, we're going to be challenged with the idea to admit our regrets, the challenge of admitting our regrets and making sure we recognize that they're nobody's fault but our own. These regrets are because of my decisions. I did this. Maybe I ignored the wisdom around me. I ignored the advice of other people, but I made this happen. Their regrets are mine and not somebody else's fault. The commitment and the challenge before us is to think about how we make our decisions. What is your grid? What is your filter? What questions are you asking? Are you just trying to avoid jail time? Or are you trying to pursue the best possible option that God has for you? Got to think about how we make those decisions. And this challenge is before us to begin to be careful how we live, not as unwise or careless, but as wise. We've got to dig deep into this principle and make the most of every opportunity. So that's a rundown of week one. We appreciate you checking in on this podcast or this sermon to listen to it. Join us for the coming weeks as we dive deeper into the best question ever. God bless you.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.